The Kingdom of Ai, Chapter 4, The City of Trepidation. For the fear of death pervaded the city. 1 Samuel 5:11b. They had not been napping for 15 minutes when Stephen was awakened by the sound of running footsteps. He bolted upright and it hissed as loudly as he dared, "Wake up, everyone!" Timothy, who was closest to him, jumped up, listened, and then shook Thomas and David awake. Mary was already awake and looked frightened. "What's wrong?" she whispered. "Maybe nothing, but let's not be surprised," answered Stephen. He stood up and looked cautiously in the direction of the sound of the footsteps. Suddenly, two boys who looked to be in their late teens or early 20s came into view, running out of the forest. They came to a dead halt when they saw the group staring at them. For a moment, no one said a word as the boys stood frozen in their tracks. Then one of the boys stammered, "We don't mean any harm. We're just passing through." They both looked scared and kept looking back over their shoulders. The one who spoke grabbed the other boy's arm and said, "Let's go." They both started to run, but were stopped by Timothy. "Wait, what's wrong?" Timothy asked them. "Can we help you in some way? You both look so afraid." "Afraid? We've been afraid all of our lives," the older of the two replied, with the sound of resignation in his voice. "But we really should be moving on," he said, looking over his shoulder once again. "What is it that you fear? Is someone chasing you?" Stephen asked them as he peered into the trees from which they had emerged. The younger boy spoke up. "Well, we're not really sure, but just in case they are, we've decided to keep moving as quickly as we possibly can." "From what city are you running away?" Timothy inquired. "And who is it that you think might be chasing you?" "We escaped from the city of Trepidation 2 days ago. Hardly anyone ever escapes that wicked place, and that is why we thought they might try to chase us down," the older boy explained. "You boys look tired and hungry. Why don't you sit down with us and eat some food and rest a while?" Mary offered. Stephen quickly added, "Yes, please don't be afraid. I will listen for anyone coming down the path, and if I hear something, we will cover you with our blankets and knapsacks and continue with our picnic until whoever it is passes by." The boys glanced at each other and nodded in agreement after hearing Stephen's plan to protect them. "Thank you," the younger boy said with a sigh of relief. "We are so very hungry." Mary got the boys some food and water from their supplies while the others gathered around and began to ask some questions. "What are your names?" Stephen asked. "We are brothers," the older one answered. "I'm Ben and this is Ray." "Tell us about the city of Trepidation. What's it like?" asked Thomas. "Let me start by saying that it is the place you should avoid at all costs," Ben replied between ravenous gulps of food. "Why do you say that?" Timothy asked. "Have you ever passed by the city and seen the sign above the city gates?" Ben asked. "No, I haven't," Timothy replied. On the sign welcoming people to the city of Trepidation, someone scrawled the town's unofficial motto, "I have every reason to be afraid," in what looks like human blood. That should be the first clue to any outsider that they should avoid the place like the plague. Mary shuddered. "It sounds like an awful place." Ray, the younger of the two, turned to her and said, "You are quite right. It is an awful place," he said firmly and then resumed eating. Ben continued, "I will do my best to describe it to you so you can understand why we say this about our own hometown. To step into the city of trepidation is to step into an atmosphere where fear is tangible. You can feel it, almost touch it. All the citizens tremble with fear both night and day. My brother and I did also. It wasn't until we had been running for a full day away from that place that we realized the trembling had stopped. The anxiety experienced by everyone that lives there is so palpable that when a rare visitor stops in the city, they sense it immediately and run away almost as quickly as they arrived. But those who are permanent residents of that wicked place are too afraid to ever make an attempt to leave. But you and your brother left. How is that possible? And why are the others still trapped in that place?" Stephen asked him. "Our escape is an amazing story for sure, which I will tell you about. But let me answer the second part of your question first," Ben answered. "Please continue," Stephen encouraged him. "The city of Trepidation is ruled by a huge, ugly, demonic figure who terrorizes the populace by jumping out at people at every turn and roaring like a dragon. All the citizens of Trepidation are required to bring offerings to the idol of fear, which is located in the center of the city. It's a huge statue made in the image of the demon of fear. Reluctantly, much like prisoners marching to their own execution, all citizens bring the required offerings of time, money, and undivided attention to the idol daily. The idol controls every area of their lives and is never out of their thoughts for even a moment. The demon chases any citizens he finds wandering around back to their homes where they barricade themselves inside. Only sheer desperation draws them out to seek food or other necessities. But they are deathly afraid of being confronted by the demon of fear if they leave the safety of their barred windows and doors. Many have dropped dead from fright after they ran into that horrid creature, including our own parents. Heart attacks, we always assumed, he said sadly. The group of seekers sat in stunned silence, listening to the young man's sorrowful tale. Why would anyone choose to live in Trepidation to begin with? Thomas asked. That is a good question. No one in their right mind actually chooses to live in Trepidation. Some of the residents of the city were born there, having parents or grandparents who had become trapped by the demon of fear many years before and never escaped. That is our story. We were both born in Trepidation because our family lived there. We didn't choose it ourselves. But many others were dragged there in the night from other places after having entertained the demon of fear without even realizing it. We learned the strategies that the demon of fear used to trap outsiders from the newcomers who arrived in Trepidation. What kind of strategies exactly? Thomas asked. After a few more bites of food, Ben continued. The demon of fear would often masquerade as something that looked harmless, like harmless fun, such as a horror movie, which the person went to willingly, or something as common as a frightful story on the evening news. Once the demon got the individual's agreement to listen to its words and agree with what it was presenting, the demon had them unwittingly participating in its own realm. If the person didn't resist and flee from what the spirit of fear was presenting, a trap door would open beneath them, which plunged the individual into a subterranean tunnel system that crisscrossed underneath the entire kingdom of Ai. One of fear's henchmen, a minor demon, would then drag the unwitting soul through the tunnel system until it was directly under the city of Trepidation. In a matter of moments, it dragged the person up another ladder, through another trapdoor, and deposited him inside the city limits of Trepidation. Once in the grip of fear, the individual rarely escaped. The few who had escaped Trepidation before us made their way to a nearby control city where they thought they would find safety if they could completely control their surroundings. Stephen interjected, if control city is close by to the city of Trepidation and others have fled there, why didn't you go there instead of running so far away? That was our original plan until we both had dreams, Ray replied. Dreams? Timothy asked in amazement. You both had dreams? Yes, said Ben. That is the part of the story that will help you understand how we escaped from the city of Trepidation. Since our parents died, we have talked over and over again about leaving. We kept believing there had to be a better way to live, where fear does not chase you every day of your life. Our father and grandfather told us there was such a place, and that it was their dream for us to one day escape from the city of Trepidation. The only place we knew that some people had run to was to the nearby city of Control. To everyone in Trepidation, Control sounded like paradise, because when you live with fear every day, you feel that you have no control over anything. It seemed to make sense to us to go there, so that was our plan. Then a few days ago, we both had incredibly vivid dreams, which changed our direction completely. Ben nodded to Ray and he began his story. 3 nights ago, I had this dream. Ben and I were walking toward the city gates of Trepidation. We both kept looking around to see if anyone was following us. When we got close to the gate, it opened for us. We were amazed, so we walked quickly toward it. We saw a man dressed in white, and he was pointing down the road away from Control City. He said to us, "Hurry and go to the city of seekers. There you will be told what to do to find the desire of your heart." I told him that we wanted to go to Control City, where other people we knew had gone. He became very adamant and said, "No, that place is a trap. The demon who controls that city is a close associate of the demon of fear, and he takes captive all those who think they are escaping fear, but in truth, they are adding more chains of bondage to their life and keeping fear as well." So Ben and I took his counsel and ran down the road in the direction that the man in white had urged us to go. Then I woke up. Ray looked at Ben, who picked up the story from there. "The same night, I dreamt that I was standing at the bottom of a mountain. I looked up and saw a swirl of white and golden clouds around the top of the mountain where there was a beautiful city. I looked behind me and ahead of me and saw a long line of people slowly walking up the road toward that beautiful place. I stopped one of them and asked where they were all going. The man replied, 'We are going to see the king and to live in his beautiful city where there's no fear or hatred or lack of any good thing, but only peace, love, and his goodness.' Then I asked him, 'Who is this king and how can I go to live in his beautiful city?' He replied, 'The king is the one true God, and his kingdom is called the kingdom of I Am. If you want to live there, you must first go to the city of seekers, and there you will be told what you must do. We have all been there, and it was there that we received instructions.' Then he turned and continued walking up the mountain road." "Wait," I cried out after him. "Why can't I just go straight to the king's city with you?" The man turned around and answered me with these cryptic words, "Because the king is a rewarder of the diligent seeker." The dream ended and I woke up. "It all seems so mysterious to me," Ben continued. "I couldn't wait to tell Ray about my dream and to ask him what he thought it meant. He was so excited when he heard it because the man in his dream also told him to go to the city of seekers. That is how we knew the direction we should take, and how we knew that we must stay away from Control City." When the group of seekers heard all that Ben and Ray shared, murmurs of, "That is amazing, and that is so similar to our dreams, and that is just like all of us," erupted. Ben and Ray looked at each other with surprise. Ben asked, "What do you mean that we are like you?" Stephen and Timothy both chuckled and started to say simultaneously, "We all had dreams." There was laughter and nodding among the group, and then Timothy said simply, "We are all seekers, we all have been guided by dreams, and we are all headed to the city of seekers. And since that is the case, we should get on our way. We will share our stories with you as we walk." Everyone agreed, and they picked up the bags of supplies and their knapsacks. The group left the peaceful grove of trees and returned to the road. One by one, they shared their own amazing journeys with their new friends as the group, now seven strong, headed toward the city of seekers.